Listen, anytime we can get you insulting our audience, that's a win for no one.
It's usually you. Actually, it's usually both of us with our mere presence.
Right. That's actually correct.
All right. Tennessee, you're in the 06010 Focus. Tennessee, the most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it. Say they can. Matthew Berry. Talented Mr. Oro. Bob Tater. Never win the man's league. Yes, we can. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards all around the world. Let's put it on the board. A jam-packed Monday show coming at you here on the 06010. Matthew Berry is back in the 06010.
Very excited to be so.
Which zip codes were you in this weekend?
Honestly, I don't know what the zip code is for Cleveland.
You were in Cleveland?
Just for about an hour.
Layover?
Like a layover.
Yeah.
And Chicago.
Yeah.
And Houston. But then
You had layovers in all those places?
Yeah, getting to College Station, Texas, which is where I went, really? Not an easy thing to do. It's a pain in the...
You couldn't have just flown to one of the major Texas airports and then driven from there?
What do you think Houston is?
I don't know. But you had to go through Chicago and Cleveland to get to Houston?
I can't believe you care about this. Getting there, I went from Hartford to Chicago to Houston to College Station.
This is what I meant by jam-packed show.
Right, we had to get into this.
Well, yeah, show. Right, exactly. I'm just kidding. Don't get into
this. I was in the 77840 for most of the weekend. But I've said this many times, Nate.
Yeah.
There are only two zip codes that matter.
Yeah.
90210 and 06010.
There you go.
Every other zip code is irrelevant.
Hey, coming up on today's show, it was a really eventful weekend.
It really was.
A really eventful weekend in fantasy baseball. Lots to talk about. We have coming up later on the show what I believe is the definitive Mike and Mike interview.
I can only imagine.
I mean, how many times have they even been interviewed on a podcast before?
On a fantasy podcast, zero. I can guarantee you that.
So they were on here. I actually did the interview on Friday. It was good.
Right. I was out.
You could not even phone it in on Friday.
I could not eat. Well, it just probably was, you got three guys talking. It would have been a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
So I'll look forward to
hearing
that.
Three guys talking and quite a bit of bell ringing.
Ugh, for the love of God. It's such a dirty bell. So many people have touched that bell.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Mike Golic joins the club just a little later on the show. All right, Matthew, do you want to start with the injuries or the guys losing jobs?
Why don't we start with the guy who's injured who loses a job?
Okay, I don't even know who you're talking about, so start.
Miguel Montero, he's not going to be the starting catcher anymore.
Oh, well, everybody that's injured is going to lose their job, temporarily at least.
That's poor announcing by you, isn't it?
Not at all.
I disagree.
Miguel Montero to the DL with what is apparently a torn meniscus in his knee. Further tests to come today. It appears that he eluded a major injury, at least.
We can only hope. I mean, I actually saw Stefania, speaking of Stefania Bell.
Right.
Not the Stefania Bell, but a Stefania Bell, our Stefania Bell.
Right.
She tweeted that, at least a month, probably 6 weeks. We'll see what the more tests are. But
it sounds like 15-day DL, not 60-day DL.
Right. It was looking initially like it could have been the whole season.
Right. It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, not good.
Now, Matthew, let's go through the different types of leagues here. If you're in an ESPN standard league, the highest catcher, the best catcher available that's owned in fewer than 50% of leagues is A.J. Pruszynski at 23%.
Okay.
There's
also
Carlos Ruiz at 3%. Like, it drops off quick. It's like the top, I think, 11 guys are all at like 70%, and it all goes all the way down to Pruszynski at 23. So is Pruszynski the guy?
Yes. Compared to Carlos Ruiz.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what about Chris Snyder, who hit a home run yesterday in his first start?
Yeah. You know what? I like Snyder. The issue with Snyder is is the batting average. But, I bid on Tristan Cockcroft, who I respect a great deal.
Okay. I don't know why you said that out of the corner of your mouth, but I'm going to let it go.
No, I did not say that out of the corner of my mouth.
You sort of turned your head and it came right out the side of your mouth. And you lowered your voice too. Like the volume of your voice went down.
I was using that as a parenthesis.
Okay.
As a verbal parenthesis.
Okay.
Like Tristan Cockcroft, who I respect very much.
Okay, I gotcha.
Brought up Chris Snyder.
It sounded a little bit more to me like Tristan Cockcroft, who I respect a great deal.
I want to be very clear on this.
Yeah.
That if you and Tristan Cockcroft were both on fire and I had one bucket of water.
Right.
You are one crispy rabbits.
Fair enough.
All right. So anyway, he brought up Chris Snyder for a buck at our 20 team auction where we play two catchers.
Yeah.
And I said two.
Yep.
And no one else did. And I was actually sitting next to Tristan during the auction, and I turned to him and I'm like, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I like him too. You know, don't worry about it, right? So anyway, but the batting average is a concern, but, so it depends on how deep your league is.
Yeah.
So I think Snyder's interesting, but I certainly wouldn't take him over AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah. I was in, I'm in two 15 team mixed leagues, and in one league, I got outbid for Snyder. The Fab was due last night and ended up with, who did I end up with? Like Jeff Mathis or somebody like that.
Right.
And in the other league, I ended up with Greg Zahn, which is both, you know,
whatever.
It's everybody that's left is basically going to be a low batting average guy.
Right.
There's not that many. There's not that many Mike Redmonds anymore that don't play a lot but hit 290.
Right. Here's my question for you now.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Jason Veritek, who's available in he's available in AL Tout Wars, which is a 12-team, two-catcher league, AL only.
Yeah.
Jason Veritek's out there. Jason Veritek, speaking of low batting average, but cranks two home runs in a game.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked.
Okay.
You don't believe he has a little bit of pop left.
He may have a little bit of pop left.
That maybe he hits you 10 home runs and doesn't bat enough to kill your batting average because Martinez is going to take most of the catcher at bats.
I could see that. And in AO only, I think he should be on. I'm surprised he isn't.
I'm sure he will be after this week.
All right. Jacoby Ellsbury, much to Pod Vader's chagrin, with a major collision with Adrian Beltre yesterday, appears to have escaped major injury. The initial test results say no fractures. This is my second round pick in NFBC.
Right. No. I know. Could have been dangerous. That was my first thought when I saw that. Was my team.
Nate's team.
Nate's second round pick in NFBC.
Yeah. Do you own him?
I don't actually own him in any league.
Okay.
Remember my whole preseason, I'm waiting on saves. I'm waiting on speed this year.
Yeah.
I stuck by it.
Yeah. I wanted to, but when Jacoby's Ellsbury's there at 26, you throw that out the window.
That is fair. That is fair.
Why is his avoidance of injury much to my chagrin?
It's to your chagrin that there was an injury at all.
Oh,
it was scary there for a moment.
I see what you're saying.
It was very scary. Oh. No, you're happy that he avoided injury.
Yes, very.
Major injury. He might miss a couple of games here. We don't know yet.
Right. Do you think they pulled Adrian Beltre aside and said, dude, we said J.D. Drew.
I don't know. It's a little tough for the third baseman and the right fielder to get into collisions. You know?
Listen, apparently, I think you greatly underestimate Adrian Beltre's ability.
Okay.
His can-do-itiveness.
That was probably more something like on the base path, like just run him over.
Yeah.
Just say, dude, I didn't see the sign, and just run him right over.
Exactly.
Maybe they thought that. Carlos Gonzalez, Matthew, leaves yesterday's game with a tight hamstring. He's day-to-day.
We're all day-to-day, dude.
Yeah. Listen, if you're in a weekly league, I might sit him down for the week.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So let's get to some of the guys that lost jobs and the two big ones. I know you're going to be excited to talk about these. But interesting that both the words for now appeared in these things. So according to the Baltimore Sun, Mike Gonzalez out for now as the Orioles closer.
Right.
Your thoughts?
I saw it's really, really funny. So I went back this past weekend for the AL, for my AL and NL only deep, long-time keeper league.
Via Chicago, Cleveland, Houston.
Right. And so the AL auction was Friday at noon.
Okay.
Okay. So now I normally say never pay for saves, and I stick by that. And the reason I say that is because saves would come to the league.
Right.
In these particular leagues, where you can't add a free agent unless somebody on your team is on a DL.
Right.
And it's a keeper league where you can keep 15 players, and it's AL only. Saves never come into the league.
Like, I lost NL labor last year by virtue of getting one roto point in saves because I walked out of the draft with no closer. I think I had Jason Mott for $5.
Right.
He lost a job and was unable to get a guy the rest of the year. Like, I was in on the bidding for everybody. I just couldn't get somebody.
So, anyway, there were only three closers left.
Right.
Going into the draft, there were only three closers that were available. Jose Valverde, Mike Gonzalez.
Because it's a keeper league.
And Rafael Soriano.
Okay.
Correct. Because it's literally. Anyway, I wound up with Valverde and Mike Gonzalez.
Okay.
And it was hilarious because as soon as the draft was over, we just turned on a game. Yeah. And I got to actually watch in live time my $22 Mike Gonzalez blow a save in spectacular fashion.
I had the same thing happen with Billy Wagner on Friday night. Like literally a half hour after I overpaid like a buck or two for him. And somebody right in the middle of the draft, you know, stopped it and was like, congratulations on your $20 Billy Wagner there, Nate.
Right. And of course, you know, all the guys in the league read me. So they're like, never pay for saves. What's going on, Barry? You know, and
all right.
Anyway, so here's the thing.
Okay.
I thought he looked terrible.
Yeah.
And I think it's a mechanical thing.
Yeah.
I
mean, he had a bad spring, didn't he?
He did not have a great spring.
Okay.
So, luckily, I managed to handcuff him, Nate.
Okay.
With Jim Johnson.
Okay.
And that's what I think you do. The thing is that ultimately I would not drop Mike Gonzalez if I had him. It depends on your size of the league and what else you have.
Who do you think leads the Orioles in saves this year?
I still think Mike Gonzalez.
I would tend to agree with you. And I'm also not convinced that it's Jim Johnson. I mean, I think right now it is.
Right.
Because Koji O'Hara is still in the DL. And by the way, I don't trust Koji O'Hara either.
Right. Well, I think they're paying Mike Gonzalez a lot of money.
Yeah.
And to your point, I don't think they have a ton of great. Look, I like Jim Johnson, but look, he's not an awesome pitcher.
He was 10 for 14 once he took over the job last year. That's not good.
It's not a great...
No, it's bad.
It's not good. Yeah. It's not good. It's better than Mike Gonzalez's rate at the moment.
Bad. It's pretty bad.
Gonzalez is 1-for-3 at the moment. So my point is that I think because they don't have strong options behind him, and because they paid him a lot of money, and it's a team that's going nowhere, and they're committed to Gonzalez for more than 1 year,
listen,
I think he gets the job back.
By the way, the don't pay for save strategy, for better or for worse, at least in mixed leagues, says that you target guys like Mike Gonzalez. And
correct.
This next guy, Frank Francisco, who you actually recommended.
I liked him a lot.
On the BS report when you were on there.
Yeah.
Frank Francisco was a 17th round pick. So another guy, they say, the Rangers saying Neftali Feliz is the closer for now.
Right.
So what do you think happens here? Who leads the Rangers in saves this year?
I actually still think Frank Francisco, too.
Okay.
I don't know that they... I mean, Feliz is unproven.
Right.
He's been in the majors for like a nanosecond. You know,
yep.
He came up towards the end of last year.
Yep.
He was great last year, and he's a flamethrower, no question. But he's a little unproven, and Francisco has... This is the first sort of blip on his career. His issue has been health.
I mean, other than the chair-throwing incident, but...
Well, listen, we all have bad days.
Okay.
But from a performance standpoint, this is the first blip on his career, and he actually, Francisco...
I'm pretty sure he missed the strike zone with the chair, too. Thank you very much.
The umpire had a tight zone on him, frankly.
He
was calling him too tight. He had a fantastic spring, Francisco did. He was unscored upon in the spring.
Feliz had an awful spring.
Yes. So, again, I like both guys to pick them up. I would rather Feliz than Jim Johnson.
Right.
Because the strikeouts.
The only problem, I mean, I agree with you. The only problem there is Feliz is owned
in
most
more
leagues.
A lot of leagues. He's not owned in all 10-team leagues.
In ESPN standard, in ESPN standard leagues, he's owned in 38% of leagues. So he's available in a lot of those leagues.
Right.
Yeah?
So in a lot of our standard leagues. But, so that's how I would rank them going up. But I would not drop Francisco or Gonzalez to grab either one of them.
I agree with you. Let's talk about some big minor league performances over the weekend, Matthew. Starting with Daisuke Matsuzaka at AAA. 5 innings, 2 hits, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, no earned runs. He's available in 72% of leagues. Do you care?
For deeper leagues, yeah, not in mixed.
I may have
said
he's owned in 72% of leagues. I may have said he's available in 72% of leagues. No, you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan when he was good.
This is true. All right.
Meanwhile, how about my Timmy Wakefield? Come on.
Okay.
Mowing him down.
Fair enough. So the two big starts yesterday, Matthew, in the minors, which you could watch both of those on ESPN3.com, and you can still watch the replay on ESPN3.com.
Look at someone being a company man.
So Steven Strasburg down there at AA Harrisburg, I believe, 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run. I think it was 4 runs, but only 1 of them earned. 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, and Tim Kirkshin on SportsCenter yesterday morning.
SportsCenter dropper.
He says that basically the plan for Steven Strasburg is to pitch like maybe something like 4 starts at AA, 4 at AAA, come up to the majors, 100 innings in the majors this year. That's about what you're going to get.
That's a lot lower than you predicted in the preseason.
No, I don't. I didn't make an inning prediction.
Yeah, you said he'd be up by. You said he'd be up by like May or something like that. Go back and listen. You love Steven.
I think he'll be up by the end of May.
Right.
What does that have to do with him getting 100 innings?
Well, they're going to severely limit his innings.
They have said they're going to.
Yes, I know.
So I don't think it matters, because I think in 100 innings, he's good for probably 110 strikeouts.
I think that's probably right.
All right, so the other guy I rolled is Chapman yesterday at AAA. 4 2/3, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, 5 hits, no earned runs. Who would you rather own, Strasburg or Chapman?
Strasburg.
Chapman's probably up sooner.
Correct.
I agree with you, actually.
Yeah.
Is it just because of the risk in the ballpark for Chapman?
Risk in the ballpark and risk ballpark. I think that Strasburg will be the better pitcher. I think he will have a better whip and more strikeouts.
Two totally unowned players, yes, Matthew.
Yep.
That I want to talk about. Charlie Hager, 6 innings, 12 strikeouts yesterday for the knuckleballer.
Crazy.
Won the 5th spot in the Dodgers rotation.
Good ballpark.
Mr. Hager.
Sure. You know what? I like him. I think he's a spot starter. I think you'll never see double-digit strikeouts from him again. He's a knuckleballer.
You might not see 8 strikeouts again.
Right. Great start for him, obviously, but not totally buying it.
Still 4 walks and 6 innings. I'm really not buying it at all.
He's a knuckleballer, and there's lots of risk with them. And, you know, like, I like Tim Wakefield, but Tim Wakefield's been doing it forever.
Right.
And has shown success. And even with Tim Wakefield, you have to be prepared for those. There's going to be those 1-inning, 7 earned run games.
Right.
When the knuckler's not working and guys are just teeing off on him.
Right. What about Alex Gonzalez? Hits his 4th home
I saw
run
that.
Yesterday.
How crazy is that?
He's available 95% of ESPN.com leagues. You know, this was a guy
career high in home runs, I'm curious. I don't know that
off the top of my head. I'm going to say like 16. He has shown power before, actually. Before, he was 33 years old. He hit 23 in 04.
Wow.
18 in 03. Most recently in 07 with Cincinnati, 16. So it was last year when he was traded and whatever. The guy has power.
Right.
You wouldn't know it in his career slugging percentage, but for home runs, he has shown home run power at times.
Definitely interesting. I mean, depends on who else you got.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know what shortstops that are owned in virtually every league I would drop for him. I mean, would you drop Everth Cabrera for him? What about Miguel Tejada? Would you drop Miguel Tejada for him?
You know what I think I would.
Depends on what you need. If you really need home runs, I might, because I think you might out homer Tejada by 5.
Right. Probably won't. He won't hit for a higher average.
No, definitely not. But in that range, right?
Yeah. Would you? I'll give you one.
Okay.
Would you drop J.J. Hardy for him?
I would not.
Okay.
Because I think Hardy's 20 home runs this year.
He might be in that ballpark.
By the debut of that ballpark, is that today or tomorrow? So we'll start to learn, hopefully, a little bit about new target.
I don't think we're going to be able to know about that ballpark
of
the year.
Of course not.
But once it warms up.
Of course not. One more closer, Matthew. Speaking of closers struggling so far, Trevor Hoffman.
Hell bell.
Second blown save yesterday.
And
both of them have been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now he does get the win.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
Right.
So Trevor Hoffman, Matthew.
Right.
I mean, the one thing you could say about him coming into the year is he seemed relatively safe, at least in terms of, you know, they didn't have a Neftali Feliz behind him. They didn't have, you know, the guys behind him are Hawkins and Coffey.
Well, listen, I mean, LaTroy Hawkins, jokes aside, LaTroy Hawkins has closed successfully in the majors before.
Yes.
Multiple times. Never for long stints, you know, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, how old is Hoffman?
He's 42 years old.
Yeah, he's older than me.
He's one of the few.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if anyone gets a long leash, it's Trevor Hoffman.
I agree.
Especially on that team, but it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. I'm definitely a little bit concerned.
It's worth
There were a lot of blown saves. Chris Perez blew one in spectacular fashion.
I think Trevor Hoffman blowing a couple saves in a row is a bigger deal than Chris Perez.
I understand, but I'm just saying. There are some people, like your co-host, who may own Chris Perez and AL Tout Wars, and that's all they got.
So Matthew, anyway, for Hoffman, a lot of people, including me, like Todd Coffey, but it has been Hawkins, like the other day, Coffey pitches the 7th, Hawkins pitches the 8th. I think right now it's Hawkins if they had to go somewhere else.
I would agree with you. By the way,
Okay. Speaking
of, as long as we're just talking about, closers.
Okay.
Well,
quite on the closer carousel yet.
Yeah, but I think there's a couple things to talk about. First off, I've gotten a lot of tweets and emails, people concerned about Jason Fraser. Because
then
Kevin
they're just
Gregg.
Not, I'm sorry. Those people are idiots.
Right.
Those people are idiots, and they're not paying attention, and they're not following They're not following ESPN underscore fantasy on Twitter.
Right.
Because
Frazier
Kevin
pitched 3 days in a row.
First save happened because he pitched 3 days in a row.
Correct.
And the second one happened because he pitched the next day.
Right. But I think...
I'm sorry, you're idiots if you're
asking
that question.
Well, hang on, though.
Idiots.
No.
Idiots.
I disagree, Nate, because I'll tell you. Listen.
This should be in the drop pod, Vader, to open the show. Idiots. Idiots. I disagree. Idiots.
Right.
He's writing it down right now. That was a good one.
No, right. Listen. Anytime we can get you insulting our audience, that's a win for no one.
It's usually you. Actually, it's usually both of us with our mere presence.
Right. That's actually correct, actually. Can't you argue, and I think this is what some of the argument was. Right. We understand this. Frazier pitched 3 days. They wanted to get Greg a save. Great.
Right.
Fine. But then the next one, Frazier can't go 2 days in a row? Is it now an alternate? Is it every or? Do you believe Jason Frazier is 100% the closer?
I believe Jason Frazier is 100% the closer, and so does everybody associated with the Blue Jays. It was three
That's
in a row.
Fair question.
It was three in a row, and then a game off. So it was basically, what was it, on the 11th that Kevin Gray got a second save yesterday? He had pitched 1, 2, 3. He'd pitched three out of the preceding 4 days. So that's all it was. That's all it was. Does Kevin Gray get 10 saves this year? Maybe.
Yeah.
If the Jays keep winning this many games, I mean, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, break up the Jays.
I mean,
Alex Gonzalez, Vernon Wells.
But that's really the bigger thing. The Blue Jays have 5 wins already,
right,
and they've gotten 5 saves in those wins.
Which is crazy.
So.
But, I mean, to that point.
And listen.
Jason Frazier, 3 saves. Kevin Gregg, 2.
Jason Frazier could lose his job at some point.
Sure.
That's certainly possible. But for now, Frazier is the guy.
I would agree if you're asking someone to own, but I think, you know, it's a legitimate question to bring up.
Matthew.
The other thing I was going to bring up here, just as we're as long as we're talking stories, closers or potential closers.
Yeah.
A lot of people want me to give you crap.
Oh, I think I've got an email here about this.
Yeah.
Is this where, I think I know where you're going. So let me just read the email. This email is from Phil and Yorba Linda. It says, Saint A. Kid. I respectfully disagree with your assessment of Ismael Encarnadon. Signed, Drew Stubbs.
Yes.
Here's my only problem with it. Go ahead and bash me for a minute.
Well, I mean, I got a number of people that are like, dude, I totally went on Encarnadon entirely based on Nate's recommendation.
Yep.
And now he's getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
He got lit up like a Christmas tree on was it Friday? It was Friday night, actually.
He's, I think, 2 in a row now, actually.
No, it was Friday night. It was Friday night. He got just abused.
Right. Yes.
It was Friday night. It's not 2 in a row. It was Friday night.
Right. Well, yeah. He did. I will say this, though. The game against Cincinnati yesterday, his box score, his line doesn't show it. It's a third of an inning and 1 walk, no earned runs.
Right.
But he let in. He inherited some runners and let them in. So they're not on his thing,
right,
but he didn't pitch well.
Fair enough. There's going to be some rough spots there for Ismael Encarnadon. He really shouldn't be in anybody's lineup, though. I mean, other than deep NL-only leagues, right?
I would agree with
that. I mean, the leagues that I own him in, other than the NL-only, where if you have him, he has to be in there, he's not in my lineup right now.
I have him in one NL-only where he has to be in the lineup.
This is in case of Carlos Marmol break glass. So, and I'm sticking with him. I still think he could be an interesting guy. But all fairness, I deserve to take a beating for that one.
Right.
Speaking of beatings, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
After all the hype about dominance in winter ball and dominance in spring training,
yeah.
Francisco Liriano goes out there on Friday night, and it's all the same problems. 5 walks in 6 innings. Only 4 hits, only 3 earned runs isn't awful.
No.
But 5 walks, 3 strikeouts.
You know, look, it's early. It's early, and I'm not panicking yet.
Nor should you.
Listen, you know, my AL Tout Wars team... I mean, you know, my top, the guys I spent like a combined 50-something bucks on, 52 bucks on.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander and Josh Beckett.
Yeah.
I think also my ERA is like 15
in
that
absolutely.
League. I'm not worried.
And Sabathia had a bad first start and comes back with a near no-hitter. So.
Right. I'm not worried about my AL pitching and tout, and I'm definitely not worried about Francisco Liriano yet.
Okay. Fair enough. All I'm saying there is bad sign when the same problem...
It certainly doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies.
Right.
But I'm sticking by him.
And who was that against? Was that against the White Sox?
I believe that's correct.
Not necessarily
might have
noted
been the
for their play discipline. Matthew, we don't give a lot of lineup advice on the show.
It was the White Sox. You're so
anymore.
Sorry. Yep.
But I did want to throw this one out because we talked about last week about Barry Zito and digging actually into a lot of the stats. there's some good things here, it looks like. Strikeout rate really spiked at the middle of last year, and he's maintained it since then, and it corresponded to throwing fewer changeups. Anyway, here's the thing. Vail owned in 40% of ESPN.com leagues. He's got two starts this week, home against Pittsburgh at L.A. Dodgers. If you're in a weekly league, head-to-head league, for instance, I think that's a guy that can really help you.
I agree with you.
Let's you know, we don't have a lot of time, but let's do a couple emails here.
Email. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find it a little weird I have to ask twice.
Brr.
And these are all going to be about Garrett Jones.
Okay.
And his nickname. But there's a couple actual fantasy questions in here, Matthew. So
that must have come up on Friday's show.
We requested nicknames for Garrett Jones. Weren't you here still here with that?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Well, he deserves a nickname.
Really? How many nicknames? I mean, we've already unleashed the Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken!
We got called out for the fact that apparently it's Release the Kraken. But then, of course, on a fantasy show, we don't want to be saying Release the Kraken.
No.
That's the last thing you want to do.
No. You want to, because someone would do that and said, you guys told me to get rid of Jason Hayward.
Right, exactly.
No, yeah, exactly.
Unleash him.
Unleash him. That's what we would like to do.
Right.
That's fine, yes. In Clash of the Titans, you release the Kraken.
Right.
In Fantasy Focus, you unleash him.
Steven in Baton Rouge, Louisiana says, I found the perfect nickname for Garrett Jones. I know you usually like your nicknames to be random and unrelated to the actual player. I don't know that that's true. Chad Billingsley really is a buzzsaw.
Correct.
He says this one actually kind of fits. The Flying Dutchman. He even shares a last name with the captain of the Flying Dutchman, Davy Jones. A couple of people brought this up. What is the Flying Dutchman?
It's a famous
That's
ship.
The name of the ship.
Which, on what?
It's Davy Jones.
Oh, okay. He says, I haven't come up with a sound effect yet, but I'm sure a two-time podcast award-winning producer, Pod Vader, can come up with something fitting. Yep. What do you think about the Flying Dutchman?
I guess I'm not
it's
really
sort
all...
sort of random.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, here's the thing.
You're not sure he deserves a nickname yet?
Yeah, I'm not. Whatever. I mean, are we giving one to Vernon Wells, too? Does everyone go off to a hot start? Why does he get a nickname? What prompted you?
I don't remember, to be honest. Well, they are actually already calling him Bam Bam around Pittsburgh, apparently.
Okay.
Well, here's a question from Steven in Baton Rouge. He says, standard 12-team head-to-head league, Chase Utley, he wants to evaluate a trade, Matthew. Chase Utley for Gordon Beckham and Jason Bay. He'd be giving up Utley, getting Beckham and Bay. Bay would be replacing Snyder as his fifth outfielder, and when Beckham gets second eligibility, he would replace Utley.
It's a good trade. I wouldn't do it. I'm not a Bay guy, but
it's a fair trade.
It's about right. It's a fair trade. I would rather have Utley and see if I can't improve my outfielder on the waiver wire in a 12-teamer. But yeah, it's a fair trade.
Eric from Port Elgin, Canada says, "I love the show and your irreverent humor. First off, Garrett Jones could be called Pirates Booty." As in, that's the third home run for the Pirates' booty. That's kind of funny, actually.
It is kind of funny. I think it would get old quick.
It's hard to believe the Pirates traded a fifth outfielder at the trade deadline for the Pirates' booty. It's pretty funny. Secondly, I'd appreciate if you guys play the name game.
Oh, we're going to play the name game? Fine.
When Nate says, I'd appreciate if you play the name game, that's what he's meaning, yeah.
I know, but we don't have a lot of time.
All right, we're going to wrap this up, I promise. But it'll be a quick name game. Let's play a little name game.
Ooh!
Justin Verlander.
Zach Greinke.
Adam Dunn.
Carlos Pena.
Chad Billingsley.
The Buzzsaw.
How do you like Carlos Beltran now?
Are we above the law?
Your boy, Shinsu Chu.
I would marry him.
Yeah, you love him.
I really do.
All right, Matthew, name game. Sean Rodriguez or Brandon Wood?
Rodriguez.
I agree. Sean Rodriguez or Drew Stubbs? The Carrot Ad Killer.
I'm going to say Drew Stubbs.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to go with the guaranteed playing time.
Right.
By the way, Nick from someplace says that they don't call him Bam Bam. Or no, he says they do call him Bam Bam. Somebody else says they're calling him G.I. Jones.
I like that one.
G.I. Jones, not bad.
I don't know why we care about a nickname for Garrett Jones, though.
I don't know.
How did that come up?
I don't remember.
I believe Tristan brought it up just because he had heard it or seen it.
Oh,
and we had
look
just
at that. The guy who you would pour a bucket of water on if you were on fire ahead of me. It's his fault.
No. That said, you were willing to give everybody nicknames. You wanted a whole plethora of nicknames yeah, for everybody in the majors.
All right, fair enough. Listen, Matthew, yes, we got to get to this right now.
Right.
What I believe is the definitive Mike and Mike on a fantasy podcast interview of all time.
I have no doubt that that is true. I'm sure you did a fantastic job with the morning radio guys here at ESPN.
Here we go. And
warning, warning, nothing but nonsense from this point on.
This fantasy has been a profound disappointment.
All right, joining us now, Mike Greenberg, Mike Golic. They are Mike and Mike. I couldn't be happier that they're here, and more importantly, that Matthew Berry is not here with me for this interview. Guys, the book is Mike and Mike's Rules for Sports and Life. So let me start off. Inspiration for the book.
Well, the inspiration for the book was we were celebrating our 10-year anniversary together as a show, and we really wanted to do something kind of special. And one of the things that we found out in the process was so many people said to us, you guys have been on 10 years? We've only known about you for about 6 weeks. So we tried to go back particularly to the earliest days of the show and tell some of the fun stories just about how we got together. One named Jay, who produces this podcast, yeah, was for a long time a part of our crew. And so some of the old stories, for example, we first did the show in this little tiny studio, and there was a cleaning lady at ESPN whose name was Gabby, and Gabby, she didn't speak a word of English. And she paid no attention whatsoever to the fact that there was a red light that said on the air. She would come in during our show every single day and vacuum.
And vacuum, yeah.
And that became part of the show.
It's part of the shtick. When she came in, we just said, Gabby's here, and she just kept vacuuming, did her thing, and left.
Gabby, I mean, the cleaning lady. To this day, I don't know that she realized that she was on the air.
It was really great to relive some of the stories, not only for the listeners who hadn't been around early on, but quite honestly for me. I'd forgotten half the stuff we'd ever done on the show. So when we were writing the book, I went, oh, yeah, we did that. Oh, yeah, that was kind of fun. I've been hitting the head a lot.
So the book is sort of equal parts. What we wanted more than anything was to make the experience of reading the book as similar as we could to the experience of listening to our show on the radio or watching it on television. And so that's what we went for, and hopefully we achieved at least part of that. There's a bunch of it in there about how we got together and some of the origins of the show. There's certainly the majority of it would be our opinions on various sports stories that have taken place and are taking place. And then, as is the case with our show, there's a bunch of stuff about our families in there, including a section called Wife and Wife, in which our wives answer a bunch of questions, mostly making fun
of
us.
Our wives sell us out is basically what
really?
And basically universally everyone thinks that's the best part of the book.
Well, I've not read the book yet. This is going to surprise you, but Jay Soderberg, your former producer, our producer, was unable to secure me a copy of the book in time for this interview.
Well, we could just leave us a credit card number. So, we will certainly get you a book.
Right. Yeah, we'll be happy to get you one. In fact, we'll give you one free if you promise to buy five for your friends.
There you go.
There you go. Well, but I have read the excerpts online, and one of the excerpts is about Rule 3.50, never forget where you come from. So Jay Soderberg was one of your producers early in the show from 2001 to 2004.
Sounds
something
fine.
Like that.
Sounds good.
We
like
blocked
I said,
out most of the one
like
named Jay.
I don't remember. It's like women blocking out childbirth.
So one name. Are you aware of his current nickname?
Well, he was always one name.
One
with
name.
Us.
One name. Jay to us. So no, I don't know what it is.
His nickname now is Pod Vader.
Pod Vader.
Because about a year and a half, 2 years ago, he was named the head of all the podcasts.
So he was given responsibility like that.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's troubling. I'm
surprised the four letters haven't crumbled.
I'm surprised we still have podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, we've already answered my next question. Was going to be, are you surprised by the level of success that Jay has had?
Very surprised.
I would say, what's a stronger word than surprise?
I'm surprised he's managed to make it here.
Stunned. I'm surprised I walk around the building and still see him here.
Yeah, me too. The fact that he makes it to work every day, I find to be completely stunning.
Yeah, he struggles. A couple of weeks ago, you guys, leading up to the baseball season, had a couple of weeks there where you were reading off fantasy sleepers on your show. So I wanted to tell you how much I appreciated that. I was the one that actually prepared all that.
You did a good job with that.
No, you guys really did a nice job, though, of not just reading it, but talking about how, hey, we're not just talking about the best players. And
you know, here's the thing. You know, for fantasy, you know, all the fantasy leagues out there, Green and I have never really been into a lot of fantasy, but we understand and we hear from our listeners and viewers just how much they are into it.
Yeah.
It is so popular that Greeny and I, even though we're not in leagues ourselves, would be foolish not to talk about it or get people who know what they're talking about on to talk
about
it.
And I have a new understanding of it now, actually, from a different front, because my 7-year-old son, Steven, wanted to play fantasy this year, so we are in a couple of leagues.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, and one of the best ways that he will learn about this is that he's a crazy fan of the Yankees, and as a consequence, we just drafted every Yankee that was available. So, for example, our left fielder is Brett Gardner,
right.
And Steven is ecstatic about this.
How's that working out for the league?
He wanted to make Brett Gardner like the third pick in the draft,
yeah.
And I was trying to explain to him, no, Steven, if we can get, you know, Albert Pujols, we'd like to get Albert Pujols, if we, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. But that way he will learn a little bit about it. I do think it's a good thing for young kids.
Did you try to sell him on any Red Sox? Because that's probably the toughest sell.
No,
right?
One Named Jay has all the Red Sox. I let him have all the Red Sox.
Now, apparently One Named Jay was telling me, now I'm calling you One Named Jay. This is crazy.
See? Uh-huh.
That his favorite New England Patriot of all time was Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And there's a jersey story of some kind.
Well, he had to wear his Drew Bledsoe jersey when they were winning playoff games. Isn't that right? Bledsoe, when the Patriots made that improbable run to their first Super Bowl championship, One Named Jay was definitely working on our show, and he's
right.
A crazy
yep.
Patriot fan, and he was out of his mind. And he has if I remember the story correctly, he has a Bledsoe jersey that he has to wear on the day of games. One Name, I can see him across the glass here. Stand up,
yes.
One Name. Oh, he is standing up.
Oh, he is, yeah. Never
mind. Anyway, the point is,
it's one of these ridiculous superstition things that make no sense at all.
He has to wear the Bledsoe jersey from the moment he wakes up through that day
yeah.
In order for the Patriots to win. And if he doesn't, then he feels responsible.
Yes,
for
it
the
certainly has affected many outcome of game, whether One Name has had his jersey on or not.
You see, Nate?
It really has.
Go look, hey, ring
whatever
the bell.
That. What's the bell? I don't know what it is.
Golic
doesn't
it. Understand what us fans understand, which is that we do have an enormous influence.
Right.
It's fascinating to me. Golic doesn't believe in the golf gods. There's tons about this in our book, Mike and Mike's Rules for Sports and Life, about my total belief in karma, my total belief in things like the golf gods, which extend well beyond sports. I'm a firm believer that if you're going somewhere, if you're on a car trip somewhere, if you ever speak the words, boy, we're really making good time. You are about to encounter the traffic jam to end all traffic jams. I believe in this stuff, and Golic, to give
you're nuts.
An indication of his dumbness, does not.
You're nuts. No. It makes no difference whatsoever, but, you know, it's like talking to a wall.
There's also a bit in the book that I found interesting about your ongoing feud with weathermen.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about? You mean that
well,
part
yeah.
of the weathermen?
Here, I have two separate issues with weather. Forecasters.
Okay.
One of them is that's what they're doing. They're giving you a forecast.
Right.
But what they don't do, if Mike and I ever went on the air and said, we're going to tell you right now who's going to win the football game this weekend, we'd be lying. Right? We don't know who's going to win. We can make predictions.
Right.
We can make educated guesses based on data.
Unless you know that Pod Vader's not wearing his Bledsoe jersey. Then you know.
Well, then
sure.
I know exactly
but
what
now,
about.
See, now you have just hit on it exactly. This is the kind of analysis we're doing.
Right.
Okay? And we don't pretend to be doing more. What the weather people will come on and they'll say, we'll tell you what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. If they told you, we'll take a guess at what we think our Doppler 4000 suggests the weather might be like tomorrow, people would never pay any attention to them. So they're telling you they know stuff when they don't. But what really is the reason for this is any of us who ever worked in local news sports,
yeah.
We all know that the weather people are the beloved. And sports.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. If there's a stiff wind, weather needs another 30
sports
seconds.
Sports loses 30
really?
Seconds.
Sports
yeah.
just lost our truck. So, I mean, there's no question about that. So that really is where that comes from. There's a snow event. Weather's leading off the show tonight, and Greeny Sports is only going to be 90 seconds.
Well, I know it was supposed to be 83 degrees here in Bristol on Tuesday.
And it
was 93 degrees here.
Right. And I'm surprised it wasn't 23 degrees. That's how close they are.
At the end of every weather forecast, there should be a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Mike, you asked about the bell. That bell that you just rang there, that, you know, you're familiar with Stefania Bell by any chance?
Yes.
She's our injury analyst
yes,
here at
ESPN.
Yes,
we know. Yeah.
Well, that bell was sent in by a listener to be the Stefania Bell. So that is the Stefania Bell.
I like
not
that.
Okay. Stefania Bell.
So when I'm ringing it, what am I signifying?
Generally, we just do it when somebody has answered a question correctly or we want to, you know, denote.
Well, Greeny's been talking the most. I shouldn't have been ringing the bell.
Some sort of positive achievement.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But it's really our bell. But now, since all the podcasts are recorded here in Pod Vader Studio, other people have been abusing the bell.
I am an abuser of the bell.
Well, you came in and you just rang like five straight times.
I wanted to because I knew it would aggravate Greeny.
Wow.
That's why I did it.
Well, there you go. The book is Mike and Mike's Rules for Sports and Life. It's available at Amazon.com, Borders, Barnes & Noble, And on the Mike and Mike page at ESPNRadio.com, you can see tour dates for the book signing. And you guys have been doing shows live from these signings as well, right?
In almost every case, quite a few of our shows have been from bookstores themselves.
Right.
And certainly if you come out to any of our broadcasts, even if they are not in in bookstores, if you bring a copy of the book, we'll be more than happy to sign it.
Book signings this week, Tuesday at the ESPN Zone in New York, Wednesday in Westport, Connecticut at the Barnes & Noble, and Friday in Dallas, Texas at the Legacy Bookstore. You can get the entire list once again on the Mike and Mike page at ESPNRadio.com. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having us. Golic, one more time.
All right, Matthew, there you have it, and you'll have to listen to it later.
Right.
Because all we did just now is take a break, cue it up, and now we're closing out the show.
Right.
That's how we do it in the magic here of fake Radio Land.
Right. But here's the thing. I'll tell you, speaking of fake Radio Land, I thought you did a great job, Nate.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I thought it was my finest interview of morning radio co-host of all time.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. I think you did a bang-up job, top-notch job. And the listener, Nate, doesn't know whether I'm being sincere
right,
or I'm just lying to you, which I normally do.
Exactly. So there
you go. That's the brilliance of me, kid.
Hey, listen, on tomorrow's show, we'll get to more of your actual questions about your actual fantasy teams. Or
right.
Anything else you want to get to at fantasyfocus@espnradio.com.
Fantasyfocus@espnradio.com.
And by the way, on tomorrow's show, we will also have an interview with the founding father
of
rotisserie baseball, Dan Okrin. Tomorrow, Matthew, is actually the 30th anniversary of the first ever draft.
This is very, very exciting. This is pretty cool.
All right,
so tomorrow.
You can't email your questions in because we're going to do that interview very soon here. It'll air on tomorrow's show. But anyway, tune in for that with Dan Okrin tomorrow. For Matthew, I'm Nate.
Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.